I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, we hear from a political cartoonist from Iran. We're making fun of leaders is serious business. But first, it's time for our weekly political chat. No matter where you turn for news this week, it was healthcare all the time. President Barack Obama has been cajoling, well, maybe demanding, that Congress move fast on legislation that would overhaul how this nation's citizens receive health care. He wants to extend coverage to those who don't have it, that would cut costs, and hopefully improve quality for the people who do, all in time for the August break. To do that, he's been hitting the phones. He's had conference calls with influential bloggers, dialed up the Washington Press Corps for a primetime press conference, traveled to Cleveland for a town hall meeting, and last but certainly not least, put the squeeze on members of Congress. But Congress has found all this a tall order, an impossible one, in fact. Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid admitted this week that Congress will not make the president's deadline. We wanted to find out what all this means to the overall goal of fixing a health care system that most people believe is broken. So we've called on three men with different perspectives who've been following the issue closely. We hear from Democratic Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar. He's a member of the Blue Dogs. That's an organization of moderate and conservative Democrats whose objections to the increasing costs of the health bills have been cited as one of the factors slowing the process down. The congressman is here with us in our Washington, D.C. studio. Also with us on the phone is Vin Weber. He's a former Republican congressman from Minnesota. He's managing partner now of a prominent Washington, D.C. public relations and lobbying firm. Also on the phone from California is progressive blogger David Dayen. He runs the blog D-Day, and he was one of the bloggers that President Obama called up this week as part of his health care lobbying blitz. Welcome, all of you, to the program. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I want to start with a clip of President Obama's press conference on Wednesday night. Here it is.
If we do not control these costs, we will not be able to control our deficit. If we do not reform health care, your premiums and out-of-pocket costs will continue to skyrocket. If we don't act, 14,000 Americans will continue to lose their health insurance every single day. These are the consequences of inaction. These are the stakes of the debate that we're having right now.
I want to set the table, Congressman Cuellar. Do you share the president's sense of urgency? Do you agree with his assessment of the problem?
Well, I certainly agree with him with the assessment of the problem. We do have a problem. We got over 46 million people that have no coverage. But again, when we talk about health care, we got to break people in two categories. The 46 million people that have no coverage, but then at the same time, the other folks that do have health insurance. So we got to talk about the uninsured and the people that have health insurance so we can have health care and, of course, insurance reform also. So the president's right. We have to do something. But as a member of the Blue Dogs, we just want to make sure we do this right, especially lower the cost down.
David, how about you? Do you share the president's assessment of the issue? Because one of the things that I've always found interesting is the polls seem to show contradictory things. On the one hand, people say they seem to agree. There seems to be a national consensus. Healthcare is a huge problem. On the other hand, there are these other polls that people often cite to say that, well, actually, the people who do have healthcare are mostly comfortable with it or happy with it. And then there's also the other data that says, well, actually, people aren't. So, David, what's your assessment? Do you think, first of all, that the crisis is as the president describes? Do you share his view? And do you think most people share that view?
I absolutely think there's a sense of urgency around healthcare. I think, I agree that, some polls have cited that people show that they like what they have. Oftentimes, they like what they have until they have to use it. And when they use it, they find that their insurance agency doesn't cover exactly what they thought it would cover. They have long lines. They have an insurance agent between them and their doctor, rejecting certain coverages. So I certainly agree with the sense of urgency. And I think one, big stumbling block to this urgency is that recess itself. I'm not sure why it needs to happen. In those 3 weeks where Congress goes on break, 145,000 people will lose their health care. I don't understand. The problem does not seem to be the deadline slipping. It seems to be this big recess in the middle where Congress goes on vacation while people are still struggling with their health care.
We can get Congressman Cuellar to answer that, but let's hear from Vin Weber first on the first question I asked. Vin Weber, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure.
What is your assessment? Do you agree with the president's sense of urgency?
I think that I agree with the president that there are serious problems confronting our healthcare system. But I think you've indicated one of the difficulties in dealing with this. They are in many ways contradictory problems. Yes, we have a problem in terms of spiraling healthcare costs. It's a budgetary problem for the United States, probably the number one budget problem facing us long term. We also have a problem in terms of 46, 47 million people who don't have access to health insurance today. But the two problems are to a degree in conflict. The president wants to put together a package that extends coverage to 46 or 47 million more people and reduces the government's cost of health care. And what we're finding is that those are not necessarily consistent. That's what the Congressional Budget Office basically said, was that, yeah, we can extend coverage to all these people, but it's going to cost us more money, not less, which I think to the average American just is common sense. We can't extend health care coverage to 40, 50 million more people and have it cost less money. So we're coming up against the inherent contradictions in terms of the differing problems we face in terms of healthcare. But are they all problems? Absolutely.
Who's going to pay a price if nothing changes, Finn Weber?
Well, as I said, the long-term price, and I guess it's short-term as well, is the taxpayers and the American economy, because it's the number one long-term contributor to federal deficits, and that's, of course, a threat to the economy. But there's lots of people that pay prices. Certainly people that don't have health insurance pay a price. Hospitals and doctors often are forced to provide emergency care to people that don't have any health insurance. Someone absorbs those costs. There are lots of people that have to pay a price for this. I'm not arguing that that's not the case by any means. I'm only suggesting to you that we are trying to solve problems that are in many ways in conflict with one another.
If you're just tuning in, this is Tell Me More from NPR News. We're talking about the ongoing battle, debate over health care reform. We're talking with Congressman Henry Cuellar from Texas. He's a blue dog, a group of moderate and conservative Democrats who've raised objections to the costs of the bills being advanced by the Democrats. Former Minnesota Congressman Vin Weber, he's now the head of a prominent D.C. lobbying and consulting firm, and progressive blogger David Dayan. Congressman Cuellar, same question to you. And what about David's question? Who's going to pay a price if nothing happens? And also politically, because that's the business you're in.
Well, I think all of us are going to be paying a price. I mean, first of all, the people that have no insurance are the ones that are going to be suffering. You know, I grew up in a family of eight kids. My parents never had health insurance. In fact, I was trying to think. I think I got health insurance when I was a member of the state legislature, which is, when I first started my career.
So, did you ever go to a doctor?
Yeah. I mean, we had to go to a clinic, go to the clinic, and thank God, you know, there was no serious illnesses in our families. But my parents were migrant workers. They couldn't afford that. I mean, my father at one time was making $300 a month, which is just for eight children, that's not enough. So, I mean, look, we have to do something. But again, we have to make sure we do this right. Health insurance, if you recall, it's nothing that just popped up. You know, the debate didn't pop up last night. In the 1990s, Bill Clinton was talking about it. If you even go back further, earlier, you will see that even Teddy Roosevelt was talking about health insurance, health care. So it's something that's going on. I want to do something because in my district, I have rural areas. I have the border, which is, 40% of the people there live below the poverty level. But at the same time, I want to make sure that we also help the people that have health insurance so the premiums don't go up. We just want to make sure that we lower the cost to help both the people that have no coverage and the people that have health insurance.
Can you face your voters next year without having passed a bill?
Well, I can explain it. In fact, with all due respect to the gentleman from California, this is not a vacation for Congress. I think if you talk to every member of Congress, we go back to the district to go connect with the district. I have 12 counties. I'm going to travel. I'm going to have town hall meetings, go to the rural areas, to the urban areas, to talk to them about it. We want to do something. But again, do you do something just because you want to do something, or do you do something right? I want to make sure that we do this something right where we don't add any more to the deficit, because as you know, we got over $11 trillion of a debt right now, and I want to make sure that we lower that debt down.
David, I want to hear from you on this too, and I'm also interested in, first of all, what did the president say when he talked to you and a number of other of the progressives earlier this week?
Yeah, David? Well, mm-hmm. I can talk about that. I do want to say one thing about what Mr. Weber said about access and cost. being contradictory problems. I actually think that in many respects they are complementary. If you improve access to the 47 million people that don't have insurance, then we're not coming up with the hidden costs when you're having to give those people emergency care, which is extremely expensive. And that hidden cost reflects itself in premiums. It reflects itself in the number of money that hospitals need to increase so that they can provide that cost. We all pay the burden of the uninsured.
David, we're coming up on a break, so forgive me for interrupting. That's why I'm interrupting. But do you think that you see it that way, but do you think most people see it that way? The president made the point that the status quo also has costs. Do you think
right.
that message is getting through?
Well, what I think is that the president has a difficult selling job. It's healthcare is a very complex issue, and to boil it down, and especially the cost of doing nothing is a difficult concept, really, I think, for people to really internalize. But it happens to be true in this case. Another way that you reduce costs by providing more reform is by providing a robust and viable public option that's open to as many people, that you change the incentives around insurance so that the insurance companies have to compete on price and quality instead of competing on how many people they can deny care to.
Vin Weber, I'm sorry, I want to hear just from Vin Weber briefly before we have to take a break, and we are going to come back in a few minutes and continue our conversation. But Vin Weber, I want you to put your kind of Republican strategist hat on for a moment. And can the Republicans face their voters next election, particularly in the House, without having passed a bill? Will it be enough to say we stopped a bad bill?
Let me take off my policy hat, because I believe in terms of policy, we do need health care reform. I want to make that clear. But you're asking me a very straight political question. And I'm going to say, based on experience, I don't think there's a huge price to be paid for failing to pass a health care reform bill. It might not be the right thing for the country, but is it a political loser? Not necessarily. In fact, you can make an argument based on past 20, 30 years of history that passing health care reform legislation is itself politically risky. When I was in Congress many years ago, we passed catastrophic health insurance. It was so unpopular that we repealed it before it even took effect.
Well, that's an important point. We'll pick up on that in just a minute. We're going to pick up on that in just a minute, I promise. In a moment, we're going to continue our conversation about health care legislation. We're speaking with former Minnesota Congressman Vin Weber, current Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar, a Democrat, and blogger David Dayan. Please stay with us. I'm Michelle Martin, and this is Tell Me More from NPR News. Coming up, in this country, editorial cartoonists sometimes get a nasty letter, or two or three, when they're seen as too tough on some government bigwig. But what about in Iran? We'll check in with one of the country's most popular cartoonists in a minute, and we'll find out why he's now wielding his sketchpad in Toronto. But first, we're going to continue our conversation about the push to overhaul the nation's health care system. We're speaking with Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar. He's a Democrat, and he's a member of the Blue Dogs, an organization of moderate and conservative Democrats. He's here with me in our D.C. studios. Also with us on the phone, Vin Weber, a former Republican congressman from Minnesota. He now runs a prominent D.C. consulting, lobbying, and public relations firm. And David Dayan, who runs the blog D-Day at blogspot.com. He joins us on the phone from Los Angeles. He was one of those bloggers that President Obama dialed up last week in his push to prod Congress to keep moving on health care reform. But remember, before the break, you were saying that it is not necessarily politically costly not to pass a bill. Do you just want to finish your thought before I had to interrupt you? And
sure.
I apologize.
First of all, I don't want to be seen as saying we shouldn't do anything, because I agree with the other two people on the phone. We have a problem. But if you're asking about the politics of it, one of the reasons we're having a hard time passing something is most of the evidence historically says that passing health care reform is not a popular thing. When the Clinton health care reform effort failed, it failed because the country turned against it. That effort to reform health care probably did more than anything else to help give Republicans control of the Congress in the 1994 election. And as I mentioned, in the 1980s, when we passed catastrophic health insurance, it was repealed before it even took effect because it was so unpopular. So do we have a problem? Yes. Should we do something about it? Yes. Is it necessarily a political winner? No.
I want to hear more from the other, from the congressman about that. But first, just before I let you go, Van Wepper, what do your clients say about this? I mean, we've talked a lot about how the Democratic caucus is actually divided on this. Henry Cuellar is an example of that. The moderates have one perspective. The progressives have a different perspective. But what about your clients, Van Wepper? Do they disagree about what is to be done? And is that part of the issue here?
I would say one of the smart things that this administration has done right from the beginning was to bring all the affected parties, including the business community, the nonprofit community, long-term care folks, to the table. So there's pretty widespread support for doing something among even those parties that so vigorously opposed the Clinton health care reform initiative in the 1990s.
And Congressman Cuellar, what do you think about that? How has the administration handled this in your view?
And I think Ben is right. It's absolutely. I think the president has done a wonderful job of bringing in those people that were running ads, you know, millions of dollars back in the Clinton administration. He's brought them in. You know, there's still some companies that are not happy with it. But I think what the president has done is he's done a good job at least trying to neutralize a lot of those folks.
But one of the things he's also done, unlike the Clinton administration, as I understand it, is instead of kind of bringing everybody into the garage with the door closed, as it were, kind of tinkering on a bill and then trying to sell it, is that he's in essence open sourced it. It's Congress that's writing the bill. And some people say maybe that wasn't such a smart idea because now you've got this cacophony of voices. And they all feel that they're equal in this. What do you say to that?
Well, I mean, it is Congress that writes a bill. It's not the president. So with all due respect, I mean,
but he can present his own legislation and try to sell it to you and get you to take it. I mean,
I think, you know, he's a former senator, so he understands how the legislative process works. So he's using his knowledge to work with Congress. And even though, you know, what they call making the sausage right now might be a little difficult, I think it's important because that way it will be a piece of legislation that will they'll be accepted by Congress and then therefore, passed by both the House and the Senate. And I predict it will happen this year.
And David, your perspective on this, how do you think the administration's handling the legislative aspect of it so far?
Right. I think the whole thing that they're doing is trying to learn the lessons of the Clinton health care plan in the 1990s. The Clinton health care plan was written completely by the White House. It was 1,600 pages long. They dropped it on Congress, and Congress reacted pretty badly. And so the idea this year is to make Congress, you know, give them part of the bill, let them work it out for themselves, and then come in at the end and, you know, put it in the shape with the fundamental principles that the president thinks need to be in there. I think that's a good strategy. I think there's a push and pull with it. Obviously, he can't do as good a sales job with something that he doesn't have complete ownership over. But I think it was definitely done with, you know, respect to what happened in the 1990s and not to repeat that.
We have to leave it there for now. I hope we'll talk again.
Thank you, Michelle.
That was blogger David Dayan of D-Day, a Democratic Texas Congressman Henry Cuellar. He's a Blue Dog. And Van Wepper, a former Republican congressman from Minnesota, now the manager of a prominent Washington, D.C. management consulting, lobbying, and public relations firm. He's on the phone with us from Minnesota. David Dayan joined us from California. Gentlemen, thank you all so much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Michelle.